Hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction.
Deep into the sex zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh God. Okay.
Are we all good, ladies?
Wow.
Queer AF.
Shout out to Joanna Burns for making that dope intro you just heard, and shout out to Amanda Duncan for making us sound so pretty.
Hello, and welcome to Queer as Fiction. I'm your Zaddy Amanda, and to my right
is your co-Zaddy, Ashley Perez.
And I'm your step-Zaddy, Kirsten King.
We're getting so good at this.
That was our best take ever.
Holy oh my shit. God. Let's just shut it down.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the end of the podcast today,
guys. See you guys in 2 weeks.
Thanks. Okay, so for the bi-weekly shout-out this week, we had a fan from Australia write in. Her name is Faith, and she just wrote a really earnest and sweet note and said that this podcast was something that actually has helped her get back into writing. She previously took some time off for it, but she felt like inspired, and the girlship's kind of bringing this queer community that she's really appreciative of. That's a hard word. So shout out to Faith from Australia. I also just love that we have a listener in Australia. It reminds me of the potential scope of this thing. You're our bi-weekly fan. Yeah. Thanks, Faith.
And if we ever make it to Australia,
we'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
And I promise there. I won't do my Australian accent. Oh, yeah. Ashley's going in a couple weeks.
Oh, my God.
If me and Amanda ever make it.
I feel like so many people are like, come to the UK, come to Australia. And I was like, man, if I fucking could.
Yeah, you guys,
you know you've made it when you get to come to Brazil.
Yeah.
That's when you know you've made it.
For real. Share this podcast and maybe we'll be able to
go on tour.
And use our ad codes, because that's important, right? If people use our ad codes, then we'll get more sponsors.
Yeah.
Because I already have ideas for the live show. So.
I would love to do a live show so much if that's something you guys are interested in. I mean, honestly, we just need more listeners. So share this with your friends. Shout it from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. Tweet it. Facebook it. Snapchat. However teens communicate.
I feel like shouting from the rooftops won't do that much for us.
You never know. Someone could walk by and be like, what? I should check out that thing that he yells about.
She seems really passionate, so I think I'm going to actually go do it.
Just keep spreading the word, because it will mean we get to keep doing more of these. So thanks, guys. I do have a surprise for you guys.
Oh, my God. What is your surprise?
It's been really hard not to share this with you guys before this taping.
Are you straight?
No.
Oh, boy. Coming out?
Okay. So basically, one of the sponsors for our podcast this week is a company called Songfinch.
Like a bird. Like a bird is a finch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Songfinch.
Yeah.
Finches are songbirds, aren't they?
I think so.
Okay,
well, we're really getting off track. But our sponsor this week, what they basically do is you give them information about a song you want to create. So it could be like for a birthday or for an anniversary or whatever. And they take all this information and they make a custom song for you.
What? You made a song for us?
So I made you guys a song.
Are you obsessed with us?
Honestly, oh my God. I listened to this song and I was like, am I in love with them?
Oh my God.
Is this something?
So people just write a song for you? If you use Songfinch, you send them information? How did this come to be?
Should I call you Zaddy Dada? I have one wish for you. And hey, wouldn't you know it, Anne Hathaway does too. That as Jesse Chastain thinks you're the bomb, so will someone else on dateamanda.com. And I truly hope they open the door to a lifetime of triple word scores. So may I now declare my strongest of convictions. There's no one else with whom I'd rather read cringy fan fiction. And I am the luckiest stepzaddy in all the world. Cause you're more than just my favorite of podcast girls. You're the tree to my squirrel.
So this is a song from you to us.
Yes.
Now a verse for the verse. Co-Zaddy Ashley inhaler in your purse. I have one thing to say. It doesn't have a thing to do with Anne Hathaway. I know that you suffer from asthma. I'm sorry that I made fun of your asthma. Damn it, consolation. I think your cat son is very, very, very handsome. So may I now declare my strongest of convictions. There's no one else with whom I'd rather read a cringy fan fiction. And I am the luckiest stepsaddy in all the world. Cause you're more than just my favorite podcast girls. You're the treat to my squirrel. Oh, you're the treat to my squirrel. You're the treat to my squirrel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you guys like it? That was great. Are you in love with us?
Yeah.
Are you writing all the fan fiction?
Yes, it's just... I didn't know what to do. Okay, so I just gave her some information, and the artist, Tiffany Topol, really ran with it, and
I
think she did a great job.
Favorite part is... I know you have asthma. I'm sorry I made fun of your asthma. So good. Wow, that was so cute.
Isn't that really cute?
What a nice gift to give to someone.
Yeah. I know.
I don't like giving people things very often, because it's just, like, clutter in my house, mm-hmm. and so, or in their house. So I like this idea. It's like
It's really cool. And now you guys can both say in like a Never Have I Ever that someone's written a song about you, which I think is the coolest part.
And it was Kirsten who loves us. Now this podcast is going to be really weird. Kirsten just moved away from me.
Anyways, thanks. Yeah. Songfinch for hooking that up.
If you guys, our listeners, actually want to try Songfinch for yourself, you can get your own personalized song starting at $99 and delivered within 7 days. It is a really cool gift, as you can see from my very, very thoughtful song that they helped me create. And they have a songwriting community of over 300 plus professional musicians. So use a promo code QUEER, Q-U-E-E-R, for $20 off your own personalized song. You can make it about Zaddy's if you want to, too.
How fun. Thanks, Kirsten.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, guys.
You know,
don't say I never gave you anything.
Wow, they gave us a lot. We're legally married in a couple of countries now.
Now it's time for our... Stanfic of the week.
Oh, right. Hey. I forgot we were calling it Stanfic.
Oh, am I reading this? Okay.
Yeah.
So this fan fiction was submitted by Fee, and they wrote fanfic on Amshley. So Amanda and Ashley. It's called Two Queers in a Cabin featuring Amshley.
We've never been to a cabin together. Not yet.
No, we haven't. Well, Kirsten's trying to get
us into a
cabin together.
So fuck. I'm really...
Are you Fee?
Oh my god. The plot thickens. Peering through the doorframe in a sea of men, Amanda could just make out the banner for the much-anticipated weekend conference, Pioneer Women in Television History, from Anne of Green Gables to True Grit. She sighed heavily from her perch on the cabin's porch, strong forearms leaning against the unsoiled banister.
Wow.
Strong. How do they know about your forearms?
I show them up a lot.
Turning to face the outdoors offered no respite. There was dirt, or as Amanda liked to think of it, the toe jam of God everywhere. But beyond the clad of hyper-masculine intelligentsia and the rows of pines came Ashley, uncharacteristically late. Wow, how do they know you're never late?
Except for today.
I was late today, which is uncharacteristic.
Yeah, uncharacteristically late, but unquestionably gorgeous. Amanda heard the blue Ford Fusion crunch up the drive before she saw the full lips and endearing furrow brow of its driver. Her heart raced. Excited it was a woman, but a little nervous it was this woman.
Wait, do we not know each other in this fic?
I don't know. I guess so. We'll see. We'll find out soon in forearms.
God, she thought.
No, wait, we have to read our parts.
Oh, sorry. This is Amanda's internal monologue.
So. God.
She thought.
Love a woman who loves the environment.
Shaking herself out of her own fantasy, she murmured.
Cool it, Holland. Cool it, Holland. We don't even know if she likes Cate Blanchett yet.
Huh? The inquiry came from one of the seven spectacles. Eric's in attendance. Amanda had to think quick before this became more monosyllabic. Good vocabulary on this writer.
Good job, Fee.
Thankfully, the late-coming stunner had managed to drop her suitcase on her foot, and while hopping around on a one-toed limb, fall unceremoniously onto her back.
Gotta go see if they're all right.
Amanda spluttered, rushing down the steps towards the now seated figure.
Hey,
Amanda said, biting her lip and running a nervous hand through her hair.
Are you okay?
Haha, I'm fine,
Ashley replied.
Just a little disappointed that this is not the first time I've fallen flat on my ass in front of a bunch of strangers this week.
Ashley's self-deprecating smile could only be matched by in charm and warmth in her eyes. Eyes that Amanda easily fell into, remembering to come up for air too late. Jesus, she was practically slack-jawed. Amanda cleared her throat and offered a hand to Ashley, who had confusedly registered her stare as creepy, croony. Amanda prayed for neither, knowing she would get too sweaty for either outcome.
Think!
Exclaimed Ashley, clasping Amanda just above the wrist, a la Warriors of Lesbos. Amanda heaved up to her...
Is it like the...
I don't know what this means.
Is it like that thing where you go like this?
Oh, like helping
like
her
a forearm
up.
Grab.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got those nice forearms.
There's the forearms.
Amanda heaved her up onto the gravel and their hands fell away.
Kind of an odd way to grab someone's arm.
Quipped Amanda, making a stab at small talk.
Well.
Chuckled Ashley.
Your forearms look pretty good from down there, so I just decided to go for it.
Ashley looked just about as surprised as Amanda at what had come out of her mouth. The combination of awkward and amazing tugged at Amanda's memory. The golden hour sun tickled Ashley's face, displaying a chin soft and perfect to cradle in for a kiss. Amanda was drawn back to Ashley's eyes, which she unexpectedly found on her own body, curiously and lovingly taking her in. They stopped, met each other's gazes, unabashed and familiar. 2 weekends ago, familiar.
Oh,
the delightfully divey bar. Wow. So the delightfully divey bar and champagne and hot bodies pressing closely together to the beat of curious.
Oh, yes.
Those hands, sense. Ashley's hands around her waist, always finding an excuse to skate along Amanda's jawline.
Ooh.
Maybe to pull back a forlorn curl.
Am I Hayley Kiyoko in this video or in this?
You have a lot. You're pretty confident in this.
Yes. My Kirsten's not here, so yeah. I should be the confident one.
I don't know where I am. I guess I'm one of the Erics. They had both downed enough drinks to give the evening a dreamlike quality that was only furthered by Amanda's wit. Ashley's wandering hands in a summer's breeze.
Do you remember me?
Amanda said in a Sandra Bullock whisper. Ashley looked down a little flushed and mumbled.
How could I forget you?
Emboldened by Ashley's shy honesty, Amanda reached out and brushed the side of her face with her knuckles.
Ooh, shit.
Damn, boom. That's a move. Ashley leaned into Amanda's hand, exhaling ever so slightly. She tilted her head, letting Amanda's hand slide dangerously close to her lips and gave the fingers a slow, passionate kiss.
Ooh.
A shiver coursed up Amanda's arms.
Electric.
The writer gasped.
I remember you being electric.
Oh, shit. And then they fuck. You're welcome.
Wow. So this is what's it called? An alt-universe fic where it's not like this universe?
Yeah, we don't know each other.
You can send us AUs, too. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah.
Alternative universe. Yeah. That's funny.
Wild. One critique. Where was I?
Where would you wanted to be in this?
This is an Amshley, not an Ashton.
I'm just kidding. That was good. Honestly,
I was a little confused.
Props to the vocab.
Yeah. Damn. I was a little confused, though. Were we in a cabin or at a conference?
Both.
You were at a Pioneer Woman conference.
I think
in
it was
a cabin.
Oh, yeah.
Which, but I want to go to that conference.
It does seem like we fucked outside, though.
Wow.
Oh, wow. You fucked in the dirt.
In the toe jam of God.
In front of all of those dudes who are apparently there.
Wow.
Wow. That's bold.
Damn. Maybe I'm already fucking Rihanna somewhere else. Just to,
like, oh, Rihanna's your Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, she is.
She's the sound designer of this one.
Oh, man. I really like the alternative universe ones.
Yeah, that was
kind
crazy.
Of fun.
And it also was, like, interesting. You think you're reading a meet cute, and then they're like, we've met before.
Yeah, we've already fucking fucked.
Or just danced. I think you're electric. And then I was like, oh, does she have powers? We are in an alternative universe.
Whoa, that would be crazy.
To the Fair Santa Monica.
That'd be wild. Loved it.
Thanks, B.
Yeah, that was good. Good job.
6 out of 5 Totinos.
Yeah. Yes, agreed.
So should we write some fan fiction now?
I think it's time for us to tackle some.
Boom, boom, boom.
For this week's fan fiction, we're going to do an Anne Hathaway theme.
Our number one listener, Anne Hathaway. So Anne.
Also, shout out to Mindy for listening again this week. Thank you.
And Anne has been writing in every week and just tweeting at us. She has a secret Twitter just to tweet at us. And she's been like, do a me episode. Because not that she's a narcissist, but she is a little. Love you, Anne.
Yeah.
So we're doing a We Stan Anne episode.
Where we're all going to do different pairings of Anne Hathaway and other people. So I'm going to do Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt from Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, I just remember that I really wanted to do an Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep from Devil Wears Prada.
Do it.
Do it. You can do
just
that one.
Just do Devil Wears Prada.
This is not the first time you pitched this, but...
Then I'll do Anne and the Tooch or what?
Blunt and
Meryl Streep. Or I'll do Anne in the French Vogue editor. Or ooh. I'll do Meryl in the French Vogue editor.
Oh, yeah. Or Meryl and Emily Blunt.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's a lot of power.
Or we can just, or you can just do a general Anne one if you wanted to do the video.
What about Anne and Mandy from Princess Diaries? Weren't you going to do Lily Moskowitz?
Yeah, I can do that. I just remembered that I that wanted to do Meryl Streep.
No, you should do Anne and Meryl, and I can do Anne and Lily.
Okay,
cool. Okay,
so
I'm doing Anne and Emily Blunt from Devil Wears Prada.
What are you? Where are they?
Oh God. Okay.
Are they at Paris Fashion?
Is it in the movie? Is it their characters?
I think it's going to be their characters in the movie. I think maybe in the Vogue closet. The fashion closet.
Oh, sexy.
Nice.
Thanks.
I'm going to do Anne and Lily Moskowitz. So Mia and Lily Moskowitz. In the scene where they go behind the tree and she tells her a secret, but they're going to kiss instead.
Nice.
Nice.
And I will be doing, should I do actors or should I do characters?
Either.
Both are funny, honestly. It's the same exact dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do Anne Hathaway's character and Meryl Streep's character from Devil Wears Prada in France when they go to Fashion Week.
Nice.
In Paris.
Cool.
You need to do a tight 15. We'll do a tight 15 and we'll be back.
Bye.
All right, and we're back.
I'm going first because apparently these two wrote some like porny fanfics. And okay, so here's I don't the thing.
We made sexy scenarios. It got
mine got really sexy.
Both of them were like, mine's getting a little porny. And I'm like, I'm writing about 15 year olds, so not that.
Okay, yeah. Well, in this one, they're 18.
Yeah, they're 18. Let's say that this is 18 year old Princess Diaries, but it's the scene that you know and love. This is, like last week, this is also called A Royal Affair, so it's called A Royal Affair Also. Mia had been acting weird and Lily knew it. First, it was the small stuff, skipping homework sessions, missing their regularly scheduled phone calls where they would silently watch Alias together and talk during the commercials, never having time to get snacks at the pier after school, but today was the last straw. Mia had picked her up in a limo with her hair completely changed, refusing to talk about what was going on, and Lily was over it. Sure, Lily was a little mean to her in the limo, calling her hair disgusting and all, and she was regretting it, but it wasn't her fault. Mia was the one making things weird, and honestly, Lily was just hurt after all they'd been through, and just when Lily had thought things were going really well. A few weeks before, Mia had started acting strange when they had a sleepover that brought them closer than they'd ever been before, and not just figuratively, literally closer. They were watching the complete box set of old school SNL when Lily noticed Mia scooting closer to Lily as the two lay bellies down on a bed of blankets. As the night went on, Mia was getting more and more tired until she started to fully lean on Lily. Was Lily being crazy? This was actually happening, right? When she turned to Mia to ask if she wanted to go to bed, Mia had the strangest look in her eye. You okay, buddy? Lily questioned. Mia said, slowly leaning towards Lily's lips. Lily started to lean forward too, but before their lips touched, Mia got up abruptly. I have to go to the bathroom. And that was that. And ever since then, things had been weird. And Lily was done. It sounds like a 14-year-old slur. Lily was done. She didn't care if Mia's grandma was in town or if all of a sudden limos were in her life. Her friend was changing and she was pretty sure it was because they had almost kissed and she couldn't take it anymore. Lily stormed out of the limo, took off her charm bracelet and threw it in Mia's face. I guess I don't need this anymore if you're going to keep secrets from me. Lily could see the pain in Mia's face, but she didn't care. She needed her to know how much she had hurt her. Lily, Mia pleaded, please, I would tell you, but nothing. We're done, Lily said, throwing the bracelet again. I guess she has a second bracelet that she threw. Mia picked it up and now completely afraid to lose Lily did something she never thought she would have the courage to do. She pulled her behind a tree and just as a lawnmower started blowing, she yelled, Lily Moskowitz, you stupid idiot. I'm in love with you and I'm a princess. And before Lily could open her mouth, she kissed her. And frankly, she kissed the crap out of her. And the rest is history. Long live Genovia. 7 out of 5 Genovian pears.
Rated your own.
I was like, you know what? This child story that I'm writing, I'm just going to rate it on my
that
own.
That like kind of felt like true fanfic in a way. Yes. Like, I don't know. It was very like earnest and cute and like a lot of like love intention. It
felt like I was trying
God,
to write true to the...
so much nastier.
But I was trying to write true to the genre of like what would actually take place in the Princess Diaries world. So I couldn't get too nasty.
No, I feel like the tone was like spot on for what... that would be.
Oh, what do you think, Amanda? Do I have a future in YA?
Yes.
Yeah, I would read that book.
I would too.
I was just thinking, I would like read that young adult novel.
The Princess Diaries, where one's a princess, but she's in love with her best friend.
Yeah. I like that. Yes. Love, there's your rom-com.
Love it. I am going to write a YA kids book.
If I say TM, it counts, right?
What does that mean?
Trademark.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, should I go?
Oh, am I last?
Who's the porniest?
I want to go.
Mine's not super porny. Do you want to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay, cool.
Let's do that.
Cool.
Okay. Well, what's mine called? I don't have a title for mine. Paris. We'll always have Paris.
Oh, that's great.
That's all. Miranda Priestly shooed Andy away to get her lunch. Andy knew it would be no easy task. This was her first time in Paris, so navigating a new city on a time crunch in order to get lunch to the HBIC, head bitch in charge, a term Andy learned from Nigel late one night, would be incredibly stressful. Stress. That's all Andy has felt since working for Miranda. Get this, Andy. Get my steak, Andy. You've had no time to eat. Tough shit, Andy muttered to herself, mocking her boss. She appreciated the opportunity to come to Paris, but if she had it her way, she'd be relaxing in a hotel room and pampering herself, something that Miranda would no doubt look down upon. She respected Miranda, she really did, but sometimes she could be such a... And that's when her phone rang. Oh God, it's the Dragon Lady, Andy thought, grasping for her phone, anxious to see the caller's name show up. It was Nigel. Phew. Get back to the hotel, Miranda needs you, Nigel said quickly. But I'm getting her lunch. She's already got lunch. Andy rolled her eyes and turned around quickly. Her time wandering the streets of Paris were short-lived, and she hustled back into the fancy hotel lobby with the fancy bellman. Once she arrived to the penthouse suite, she knocked on the door, ready for a screaming woman to answer, but instead was greeted by a stranger in white clothing. Miss Sachs, come in. Andy was confused. She walked in to see two massage tables set out in the room. What's going on? Andy looked around, and just then Miranda entered in a robe. You looked a little stressed, so I ordered a massage for us. Andy was thrown off as her boss, the woman she had railed against for months in private, handed her a glass of champagne.
Railed against? Sorry.
It's Paris, darling. Relax. Miranda clinked her glass and took a sip. She rounded the massage table and let her robe drop, revealing her back to Andy. Well, come on now. Don't waste their time. Take off your clothes, Miranda said over her shoulder.
Asking Andy for her consent, to which Andy said, yeah, this is cool. Thank you. Okay, continue.
Miranda said over her shoulder to Andy as she laid down onto the table. Andy was stunned. She had never seen such a soft side to Miranda. And frankly, she was excited to relieve some stress. But what was the trick? After an hour-long massage, she was the most relaxed she'd ever been. She looked up to see Miranda admiring her body as the masseuse finished up. I gotta say, Miranda, I really needed that. I could tell. Being my assistant is not easy. Miranda looked at the two masseuses and said in a very short, that's all. Andy laughed. She had never heard Miranda say that to someone that wasn't her. She caught herself staring at Miranda, admiring the woman. Maybe there was more to her than she thought. Maybe this hate she had for Miranda wasn't hate at all. Miranda had put her robe on and grabbed a tray of strawberries. She approached Andy with the robe and gently set it next to her. Miranda leaned down to Andy and cradled her face, gently kissing her on the lips. Andy was caught off guard, but sank into the kiss. Come on, I have more for us to do. Miranda disappeared into another room, and Andy sat there with the robe, anxious to see what her boss had in store for the rest of the time there. And then they fucked consensually because there's a power dynamic at play, but Andy was into it, and everything is cool, the end.
Wow. Yeah, wow, very porny. Very porny.
See, that's very porny. I didn't mean, I was like, oh yeah, massage, because relax. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I get the gesture, but yeah. I think, you know, I liked the line we added in where she clearly consented.
I added that in at the end, too.
No. That was, the end line was good. Wow. I mean, Miranda Priestly's hot, though.
Yeah, for real.
That's all.
And then she came immediately.
That's what she says when she comes. That's all.
Oh my God. Can you imagine when she's done? That's what she says. Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, yes. I would give it.
Oh, yeah. We didn't give yours a Totino's.
You can give it 4 out of 5 for the
I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. Love how hot Miranda Priestly was in it. And I love the tension. And I do like that she was doing a gesture for her to be like, you do deserve to write that.
Power
like,
dynamics are always weird, though.
Yeah. Okay. I realized that halfway through. I was like, oh, shit, this is a power dynamic.
Love that this is a pseudo Devil Wears Prada one.
I just love Anne Hathaway, too. I can really picture her in all of these.
Yeah.
We stand in. Hope you like these, Anne. We're doing them for you because you keep asking us.
Hope you like them as well, Mindy, because you're Anne Stan
also tweeting
too.
At us constantly. Mine's also a little porny, too. Mine is called Out of the Closet. There were some days Andy didn't know how or why she ended up at her current place of employment. Today was one of those days. Andy sat on the ground of the runway closet, holding three different ankle bracelets in her hand as a 6'2 model towered above her. "Let me see the silver again," Nigel said. Andy held up the silver anklet to the model's ankle. "Revolting," Nigel said. "Not you, the anklet," he clarified to the model. Andy had dreamed of being a writer her entire life. She just didn't expect the path to getting there involving bringing back early 2000 ankle bracelets and spending her days surrounded by intimidating models. "You know what? I need to sleep on it. In the morning, I'll know which bracelet to pick," Nigel said. Andy breathed a sigh of relief. It was already 10:30, and she was anxious to get home and take her uncomfortable heels off. "Great, I'll pack up and head out," Andy said to Nigel and the model, who were already on their way out. "No, don't worry about it. I don't need help," Andy said sarcastically to herself. After about 15 minutes, the pristine clothing was back in its rightful home. Andy smiled, happy with her work. Just as she was about to turn off the light, she heard a voice behind her. "You don't seriously think you're done for the night, do you?" Andy turned around. It was Emily, her coworker, nemesis, and occasional friend when she was having a really good day. "What else could we possibly have to do?" Andy said, annoyed. "We have to wait for the art department to get back revisions of the book for Miranda's approval. Unless you have somewhere better to be," she said, cocking an eyebrow. Andy rolled her eyes. "Not at all," she said. Emily sat down and started twirling her hair in her fingers. She glanced at Andy. "Oh, I'm sorry. It must be insufferable to spend time with me, huh?" Emily said. Andy knew she should feel that way. Emily was harsh and too honest and completely intimidating, but the truth was, she was also the reason Andy got dressed up in the morning, the person she wanted to look cute for. "I don't mind," Andy said earnestly. Emily sauntered over to a rack of gowns and smiled deviously. Without warning, she started unzipping her blouse.
Andy blushed. Y'all are porny.
Andy blushed. "What are you doing? These gowns are worth 6 months of my rent. Might as well have some fun while we wait. Can you help me?" she said, motioning to her half-unzipped blouse. Yeah, sure," Andy said. She walked over and unzipped the rest, breathing in Emily's sweet perfume as she did. Andy's heart started beating so fast she was almost sure Emily would hear it. Emily slipped into one of the dresses effortlessly and turned to face Andy. Andy tried to pick her jaw up off the floor when she saw her. She was perfect. "What?" Emily said, smirking. "Is it awful?" she said. "No, it's, wow," Andy breathed. "Really? You like?" Emily said. "Mm-hmm," Andy said, trying to keep cool. "You know, I'm not always a total mini dragon," Emily said, stepping closer. I know," Andy said. "I guess I'm hard on you because you want me to succeed," Andy interrupted. "Oh, yeah, well, I suppose. But I was actually going to say, I guess I'm hard on you because I want to fuck you."
Wow!
"I was trying to finish in the time," Emily said. Andy's face flushed a deep red. Was this really happening? Emily took a step forward. "I mean, if you would be into something like that," Emily said, a little nervous now. "Yes, please," Andy blurted. "I mean, yeah, cool," she followed up. With that, Emily took a step towards Andy and kissed her. "By the way, the book probably won't be delivered until morning," she smiled.
Oh, shit, that was hot. Yes. I was into that. 5 out of 5, Totino.
5 out of 5.
Workplace power dynamics are hard to write about,
yeah, that's
I realized.
Because I was like, yours does have a power dynamic too.
Because I was like, she trapped, her in the room to do the book, but you know.
No, wow. I mean, she's technically
they're
hired.
She's a first assistant.
Yeah.
You are the second assistant.
I mean, mine
you
is,
do not give the book to Miranda.
Mine is definitely a worse power dynamic, but this is where
it's hard.
It is tricky because it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, I think I would fuck my manager consensually.
Well, we know
consensually,
that you love that.
Yeah,
you guys, I feel like you both really captured the voices of the
characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like that was very, I could see Emily Blunt doing all those things, and same with Meryl.
I could definitely see Miranda's demeanor too. So one thing we just want to talk about really quickly, just in case you guys like notice that we're joking about dateamanda.com less. It kind of like got to the point for Amanda where she was like, "Hey guys, this is like me and I'm this person and this is a funny joke," but like even Ashley and I,
we were like, "Oh yeah, duh.
Duh, like we'll lay off the jokes." So I mean,
yeah, it's just like, if you're somebody who's single, you probably wouldn't want your friends to make that website about you.
Yeah, totally.
And even if I am not single at some point, it's not something I would probably advertise as much.
I don't think anyone wants a website about their dating life.
I don't know how Billboard Dad dealt with it in the
Consent
Mary Kate
is Nashville. Sexy, as we know, so we just wanted to address that. But
yeah,
we love you guys, and we're so glad that you guys write us and send us all your messages and tweet at us, and we want you to keep doing that. But yeah, we're just going to lay off the dateamanda.com for a little while.
We love having engaged fans. We love tree and squirrel jokes.
Yeah, make as many as you can.
Yeah, but just like a heads up that we're people.
We're people too.
We're not just voices.
And now we're going to talk about sex dreams.
Yeah.
Sex dreams.
Oh, I love the sex dream jingle.
It's our new song, Finch, about sex dreams. Sex dreams in general are just weird. It's like a thing that, like, I didn't really have sex dreams when I was younger, and people would talk about them. I'm kind of just like, no. And a lot of my dreams are about kind of pseudo dating people, you know? Like, a lot of my sex dreams are like, I just, like, am holding someone's hand or something like that.
That's very sweet and innocent. I have sex orgasms too, which is really awkward.
What dreams?
Yeah.
Oh wow. I don't know. Women could have.
Do you never wake up and you're like, I just orgasm?
Yeah, I've done that.
I don't think I've orgasmed. I wake up super horny sometimes.
I feel like my body is so powerful in that moment that I can get myself off with just my mind.
Is this why you keep writing about lucid dreams?
I can lucid dream sometimes too.
Wow.
It's great.
Can lucid dream sex for yourself?
You're just aware, so you're like, no consequences. Let's fuck.
You guys have sex dreams where you wake up and you orgasm?
I wake up right after. Dream. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think I guess I kind of orgasm in a dream. Okay, now I'm ready to just say my thing.
So now that we've gotten to orgasms.
Now that we've started there, I was telling them that every once in a while I'll have a dream where I'm having sex with a man, which I'm like not really, I don't know what I would define myself as queer because I have been attracted to guys, but it's definitely not like who I'm normally attracted to. But every once in a while, I have such a vivid sex dream where I'm having sex with a man. And I found out, it was really weirding me out. I was like, am I straighter than I thought? It's when I'm ovulating. My body literally wants to get pregnant.
Weird.
And so I have dreams about dicks and I wake up horny.
Your period's homophobic.
It is. Well, my period knows that no woman's going to get me pregnant. Yeah. And so my body is like, give me more. But that's what you said happened to you too, right?
Yeah, that's happened to me before.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely been like, God, is my subconscious straighter than my...
That's also a very funny premise of like your subconscious is straight, but like, or like your dream self is straight.
Yeah, my dream self is a little bit straighter than me, I guess.
But we want to hear, if that's happened to you, let us know, and let us know if it happens when you're ovulating. I just thought it was happening and I didn't talk about it. And then this last time I looked and it was when I was ovulating, and then I kind of clocked back the other one. So I was like, oh, I think it's every time I'm ovulating.
Which makes, now that you've pointed it out though, because I think I said that I was like, oh yeah, I had one that happened like 2 weeks ago and I just had my period.
Yeah, so
I definitely get sex. I have sex dreams more when I'm ovulating for
sure.
Wow,
bodies are crazy.
But I also the worst part about sex dreams is I sleep talk and like I'm worried that like,
no,
I'm like sleep
cheating with someone else,
orgasming out loud. Like, I don't know.
You just tell your girlfriend, you're like, it was totally you.
Oh God, I'm just, yeah, it's, and I also, the sex dream I had that fucked me up the most for the longest time was when I had a sex dream that I fucked Oprah. Like, that I straight up, like, pegged Oprah.
Oh, my God.
I know. Which
you
feels,
topped Oprah.
Feels, I was topping Oprah, yeah. It feels disrespectful for her. And it, but it was very...
Was it good?
Yeah, it was good. And I had an orgasm in my sleep. But, like, I woke up and I was like, am I attracted to Oprah? Like, Oprah just seems like such an otherworldly
human
being.
Yeah, no, she's like a god.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have sex with Oprah.
Like, not sexual at all. I've since moved on from those feelings, but it was a very weird.
Did you see her riding a scooter or what?
No, I just have naturally progressed on.
Wow. So have you ever woken up, has your partner ever, have you ever orgasmed in your sleep and your partner's like, what were you dreaming about?
No, but I have woken up next to a partner after orgasming in my sleep and felt so guilty.
It's really
And
hard.
I also, like, coughed to be like, you awake? Like, to, like, see if they were awake.
It's hard when you have sex dreams and you're dating someone to not feel guilty or bad.
Yeah, because you feel like
it's your brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
But your subconscious. I feel like your subconscious as a whole. Is this a thing? Is this, like,
are you allowed to subconsciously cheat? What if you can lucid dream? Are you allowed?
Well,
I mean, I do whatever the fuck I want when I have a dream.
Amanda, you haven't talked too much about your sex dreams. What are your? Do you have them often?
I have them when I'm sexually frustrated, which like makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like your subconscious your subconscious is looking.
How
out
dirty
for you.
Do yours get? Do you have dirty sex dreams, or yours like mine? Or do you alternate? Like a lot of times, dating someone. I actually feel a lot weirder when I wake up and it's not. It wasn't just a sex dream, but I was in a relationship with someone.
Did we talk about this last week?
We briefly discussed it last week.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember if I talked about, but like I've had dreams where you were like, you were dating like a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and you're like, oh, that was so nice. That's so nice what just happened.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's very confusing.
I feel like I've learned a little bit more about my sex life through my subconscious because there are some things that have happened in my dreams where I was like, oh.
Am I into this?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's true. It does, like, it does
express. Yeah, that's true, actually.
Darker or, like, sex life. More kinky.
It's your id. It's just your id wanting to fuck, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All of us are just thinking about our best set. We all stopped talking about, like,
and we all just, like, went and drifted off into our own head, and we're like,
nobody wants to say the things they're into.
How much do you guys remember your dreams when you wake up? You said yours are kind of, like,
I remember a lot.
Stuff.
I sometimes take notes on my phone about my dreams, too.
Oh, yeah.
Same. Not my sex dreams. Do you? Okay.
If they're really good. If I don't take a note immediately the next morning, it's usually gone.
Yeah.
Same. But I did the last straight sex dream that I had 2 weeks ago was with John Krasinski, so I still remember.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love John Krasinski so much.
Yeah, time to rewrite your Emily Blunt.
Oh, my God. Yum. I love him. Now I'm going to try and, like, manifest him into my sex dreams.
You know what is weird, though? Because I feel like you can't – dreams are so weird because you can't decide what gets filtered in there. And then you'll have a weird dream about – you're like, that person? That's what this part of the day? You want to focus on?
It's so weird. What I also always have sex dreams is when I'm napping.
Oh, really?
When I take naps, it's like a big.
Oh,
well, that's when I had
that's
that dream.
An encouragement to take a nap.
That's the dream that I had yesterday. Was when I was napping because I watched I Love You, Man.
Oh, and then you had
and
a
then
sex
I,
dream?
And then I took a nap. It wasn't a sex dream, but it was the dream where I was like, some other woman got proposed to by Paul Rudd, and then the woman ended up being me, and I had to figure out how to break it to Paul Rudd that I was a lesbian. And that happened when I was napping. So.
I feel like maybe you're not as deep in like your REM cycle or something, so you can remember things easier.
Yeah.
It's just crazy what the subconscious will do.
I've actually been having a lot more dreams as an adult and super vivid ones. And now they're like kind of in genres and stuff. So I like having dreams.
It makes me feel creative and also anxious.
Let me see if I have
the Kirsten King story.
Creative and anxious.
Yeah, so dreams. Sexy.
Weird.
Good place to get off some sexual steam.
Yeah, it is.
Tweet us if you guys had any weird dream pairings that we can write about.
You don't need to tell us about
your sex dreams. I was like, what are you saying?
No, like if there's any like dream, if you guys, because sometimes you have weird pairings in your brain and that might be funny.
We also have been doing more theme episodes. So if you guys have an idea for theme episodes, please tweet at us using the hashtag QueerAFWrites. And also make sure you tag the three of us too.
If you guys want to support queer content, please donate to the Patreon. That's patreon.com/girlshiptv. We also have merch now. If you want to buy a couple of shirts, check it out at shop.spreadshirt.com/girlshiptv. There are two Queer as Fiction shirts that you can buy until August 15th, and then there will be some new designs.
Yeah, because right now you can only buy a Zaddy shirt, and you can't buy a Co-Zaddy or
Step-Zaddy
shirt.
You'll be able to get Co-Zaddy and Step-Zaddy.
And we all know everybody wants Kirsten.
Everybody wants Step-Zaddy.
Maybe an Everybody Wants Kirsten shirt. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, God.
We need a We Stand And shirt after this episode.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So you can find me at Awkward Holland on all platforms.
You can find me at Kirsten_King.
Butchering it.
Kirsten L. King on Instagram.
Yep, there you go.
And Kirsten King underscore
on Twitter. And you can find me at ITS, Ashley Perez, Ashley with a Y, no E. Bye.
My voice is not that high. Go lower to make fun of me. Yeah.
Bye.
Good one. Revenge.